many Doctor Who specials can we look forward to this winter? Which Doctor Who was a World War II spy? Will Rudy ever change his mind about Continuum? All this and more in today's episode of Timey-Wimey TV. Hey there, Internet. It's Liz Shannon Miller at Lizlet on the Twitters.
And I'm Rudy Jashan. I'm at Rudy on Twitters. And you're listening to Timey-Wimey TV, our shiny little podcast about mainly our favorite show, Doctor Who, but really all things time travel in all media.
Yay!
Bring us your time travel. We will talk about it.
We really will.
Yes, we will.
Especially during these dark days known as the days that Doctor Who's not on the air and we struggle to come up with anything. But fortunately, the Doctor Who universe is so chock full of energy these days, like leading up to the 50th anniversary special and a whole bunch of other things. So we've got a bunch of Doctor Who news to kick things off with.
A bunch of things to cover of Doctor Who news. I think we maybe should start off with some tragic news.
Well, it's
not tragic, but sad.
Yes, it's
melancholy.
It is sad to say that about half of you didn't even know the name Ray Kusiak, but Ray Kusiak was a production designer who was basically the guy who made the Daleks look like the Daleks initially. He was given the challenge of, here's a thing we want to do, figure out what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And he did it. And so I don't think he gets, I think Terry Nation still gets the credit for creating the Daleks.
Right.
But the actual man who created the visual design passed away, I guess, this morning.
Early yesterday. And the word sort of petered out during the yesterday and today.
Yes. And he was 84 years old. So,
yeah.
And he got to create the Daleks. So that's a pretty good run.
That's a pretty good run. And kind of weird it happened during this 50th anniversary year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in some ways, like, a lot of people feel like it was the Daleks that made Doctor Who,
mm-hmm.
the show that it was. Like, the first story arc was about them traveling to meet the cavemen, and it was not that interesting. And then when the Daleks literally rolled in, it was like, holy crap! Neil Gaiman talks about that scaring him and making the show interesting.
And we've seen shots already, because even as these things happen, we are, they're recreating Doctor Who history,
mm-hmm.
over there in the Britons. They're filming An Adventure in Space and Time, which is basically the Doctor Who biopic.
Yep.
And, did you see the photo that leaked?
No, I did not see that one.
There's a photo of just Daleks crossing the bridge. It's a recreation of the classic shot from the Daleks, I guess, rolling over Westminster Bridge, but it's a big deal.
Right.
In classic Doctor Who lore. And
I did see that one.
Yeah.
They're recreating that scene.
And I'm kind of fascinated by it. It seems like they're going much further into, like, I just thought it was going to be about the development process.
Right. It sounds like it's like the first couple of decades of Who.
Yeah.
Even more so.
I mean, they haven't, more at least the first couple of years, like, they haven't talked about, like, casting, you know, maybe they cast Troughton, but they certainly haven't gone, like, to Pertwee or anything.
They cast Troughton. That was one of the news that came out this past.
Yeah, they have tons of casting news.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was. I'm certain we can look it up.
Yes. I'm certain you also have that capability, gentle listener.
Yes.
If you don't want to wait for our lazy butts. Also, they cast somebody's Delia Derbyshire, which anyone who's listened to me talk about this biopic knows. I was looking forward to a casting announcement about Delia Derbyshire.
Oh, it's the little things that muse.
Yes. Oh, but speaking of John Pertwee, I learned the coolest thing about John Pertwee.
What's that?
Dude was a spy.
What?
Spy.
What kind of spy? A Russian spy?
He was a member of, I guess the Royal Navy. He was an intelligence officer during World War II and reported directly to Winston Churchill, for all of his spying stuff. And he also had, like, interactions with Ian Fleming. This all comes out in this interview that, was done in the early 90s. By two, like, young journalists who just kind of basically were, like, doing something I've certainly never done before, which is abuse their status as journalists to go talk to their childhood heroes. They were lifelong Doctor Who fans. They went to John Pertwee's house and they did, like, this very long interview with him and as part of the 50th anniversary special. A 50th anniversary celebration to do Doctor Who magazine's publishing, like, the entire interview.
From the 90s, though.
From the 90s, because John Pertwee, I believe, passed away in 96, mm-hmm. According to the article I was reading. Anyway, so the entire, this early, you know, leak of stories from this interview is available online, and I highly recommend reading it because you will learn some crazy stuff. Like, John Pertwee was, like, working with James Bond creator Ian Fleming and, like, had, like, access to James Bond gadgets.
That is amazing. I mean, because Fleming pretty much was his own character. I mean, yeah. Like, hyper exaggerated, but actually, if you read the first Bond books, mm-hmm. all that crazy gadget sci-fi over the top stuff, that's pretty much only came in with the Roger Moore era.
Right.
Of it. Well, actually, anything kind of like Goldfinger and afterwards. So it's just fascinating to hear that, like, at some point, Bond and the Doctor did team up together.
Yeah. But in real life.
Yeah. It's like it also explains a lot about, like, Petrie's doctor, right? Because he was stuck on Earth and he was...
Yeah, that's the unit days.
Yeah, and he working... basically, he dressed like Austin Powers is dressed up like him. You know? You have to remember that. Yeah, he knew judo. He was... Like, a lot of people forget.
Oh, my God. The Venusian Aikido. Why do I know that? Why is that? That's in my brain. But, yeah, so we're looking, I mean, so, yes.
I actually have a money-making idea for you. It just popped in my head.
Go.
So, apparently, there's a group out in the Bay Area, San Francisco, that they're teaching people Jedi sword fighting lessons. We have to set up a Venusian Aikido class.
We should just see who shows up for the Venusian Aikido class. I would love to meet those people, because I feel like they would be our people. and so moving forward, because we're talking about the 50th anniversary and everything, you were saying that it's confirmed that, like, November, like, 22nd or 23rd, whenever they decide to air it, there will be only one official Doctor Who adventure special.
There is only one 50th anniversary special,
right,
in addition to the Christmas special.
So we are getting a Christmas special this year.
You're definitely getting a Christmas special this year. I mean, this is... I keep thinking this is just budgeting-ish stuff.
Shenanigans.
Budgeting shenanigans. That they're like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll get your 8 episodes, plus a special, plus this. Because a lot of people say these 8 episodes with Jean-Louise Coleman, they are effectively another season. Mm-hmm. They're not really continuing on from anything.
Oh God, it makes my head hurt.
I know. I think they're like just they've been just playing with the budgets and they just want and the timing, and they just want to say, like, okay, let's say this so it's the easiest thing to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the it apparently will be 1 hour.
Okay.
It'll be a full hour, meaning
don't we have a bet going about me saying, like, that it's going to be more than an hour?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I thought we were going to propose a bet.
I think it was a proto bet. It's a bet in formation.
I'm not going to take that bet with you, only because it would just be unfair.
Oh God, it's going to be longer than an hour, Rudy. You know it's going to be longer.
Oh, it's going to be an hour for long with commercials.
No, but I'm saying it's going to be longer than an hour with commercials.
Okay, then I'll agree with you there.
Okay.
You know, with commercials, it'll be longer than an hour. In Britain, it'll be 1 hour.
I'm thinking it'll be longer than 1 hour in Britain.
Okay.
Let's not make that bet until, like, 6 months out, because feel like
it could also be that he pulls in, like, a Peter Jackson, like, oh my God, I just happen to have all this extra material I shot. Oh, let's put it one more.
I find that acceptable if it turns out that I just get to watch Martin Freeman pretend to be a hobbit for a little bit longer.
Oh.
I love watching Martin Freeman pretend to be a hobbit. The movie itself is fine, but watching Martin Freeman pretend to be a hobbit. Mwah.
I watched Martin Freeman do anything. We actually were watching him in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Aww.
And he is classic.
He's perfect casting.
It's a weird movie to go back to because you're like, it's not that this movie is bad. It's just there's something missing. There's something that makes it, like, not good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not sure what it is. It feels slow is its problem.
Yeah.
And Mos Def suddenly disappears, like, after he brings Arthur on their ship, he's suddenly like, and now my character's role is done.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, like, the Arthur, the Ford Prefix storylines, as best I can remember them, were pretty, you know, non-important. I guess they were simplified enough. I don't know. I haven't rewatched it in a while, but I should check it out again just because My memory of it was like, it was the best Hitchhiker's Guide movie we were ever going to get.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And you realize like the jokes are just, oh, not as funny. Mm-hmm. Like that's what you keep coming back to for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are not a space sci-fi show. We're a time travel show.
Well, and as we talk about Christmas specials and looking forward, according to the Evening Standard, Groomp sent us this news via the Twitters that Clara is definitely, or at least Jenna Louise Coleman, in whatever form, dead or otherwise, yeah, whatever character she might end up actually playing on a semi-regular basis on the show, she's confirmed to be with the show through 2014, which could mean a lot of things. You know, it could mean that she just gets keep getting killed off over and over again. It could mean that, you know, she actually gets a good long run as the contemporary young British woman that it seems like they're going for. And I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I kind of want to make a t-shirt saying, "You killed Osgood, you bastard," with Moffat's head on it.
How is that not already a t-shirt?
I think we just made our second business idea on this show.
Yes. Guys, get to work.
So she's confirmed through 2014.
Through 2014. So that could mean that, like, in January 2014, like, they do a New Year's Day special and she's gone. Like, who knows? But, I mean, given the fact that they kept with Amy and Rory for so long, like...
So long.
Arguably too long.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's one element of this new Who that's very consistent is a longer devotion to companions.
Right. They do talk, well, with only this one example of Rory and Amy. I was just actually thinking about they might be trying to set her up as a new Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there was some romantic feelings with the...
Yeah, no, I think... Didn't they actually just kiss on the mouth?
They did kiss on the mouth, and I was wondering, like whether it's romantic or not, because it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of wish it was, because I do want that kind of, like... You know, like, hello, sweetie. Who's she?
Yes, that's the thing. Like, the Doctor is a married man.
Yeah.
Let us not forget. Even though he kind of got married just... I'm not actually totally sure why he got married. That involves rethinking about the Marriage of River Song. And we've talked about how disappointed I was by that episode. So I have a complete tangent for you, Rudy. Not time travel, still. But about as far... Well, I guess... Not really as far as you can get, but I'm really excited because there was some news out recently about how DreamWorks was delaying one of their 2013 animated projects to 2014. And I was like, what do you mean? Because I wasn't like disappointed because I was like, oh my goodness, you guys are making a Mr. Peabody and Sherman movie?
Yes, that's been in the works, but I never knew it got that far along with. Or maybe that's the reason it was delayed. It was not that far along.
Yeah.
It was announced a while ago.
I totally missed it. Like, but so if you weren't a big Rocky and Bullwinkle fan growing up, or if you didn't have parents who were big Rocky and Bullwinkle fans growing up and then made you and your brother watch it, not that it was a making.
Hey, Rocky!
Rocky and Bullwinkle is so charming.
Yes.
And one of their side adventures, one of the side characters was Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Right.
Who it was a very, very smart dog and his pet human, and they would travel through time.
Yes.
In the Wayback Machine. That was the name of it.
Right.
We have to make sure the Wayback Machine is in our thing later.
Well, that's right. The Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine. But so Mr. Peabody and Sherman is an animated adaptation, probably CGI. And
yes, that's definitely. And I can't remember if it's actually, it's DreamWorks Animation or DreamWorks?
I think it's DreamWorks Animation.
Okay, then it's probably going to be a CGI show because the tendency these days sometimes to be with an animated dog or cat is to make them a CGI character, to Jar Jar Binks it up,
yeah.
To Gollum it up, you know.
They did that
with Marmaduke, which was...
I did not see Marmaduke.
And it's a good thing you didn't. Garfield is the one I was talking about.
Yeah, and then Smurfs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it sounds like it's animated. It sounds... And, yeah, because they actually had layouts of DreamWorks Animation.
Right.
I forget who, like, the principal talents on it are, but I'm just really excited that there's going to be a Mr. Peabody and Sherman movie, and I just hope that they don't jump up and down on my childhood.
You know what I fear? It's going to be the origin story, right? Like, why? You know, like, it's the kind of thing they'll be like, why is this dog intelligent and talking to people?
I wouldn't mind that. Like, I feel like that's ground. I only mind origin stories when you just did an origin story 10 years ago, not pointing any fingers at anyone, Spider-Man.
I was going to say, my favorite, I mean, I enjoyed watching as a kid because it's very light humor and so on. But one of, and then it had the greatest puns always at the end of each episode.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite Peabody and Sherman reference is, remember the Treehouse of Horror episode? One of the early ones of The Simpsons.
When, yeah.
Where basically it was the sound of thunder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With Homer. And he goes time traveling.
Like, yes, that episode's amazing.
Yeah, he goes back time traveling, and he's like, holy crap, I'm the first non-Brazilian person to go traveling through time. He says that, which is a hilarious lie in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Wait, what? Peabody and Herman show up. Sherman show up. And he goes, and Peabody's like, actually, Homer, you're the second. And then... Sherman goes, you tell him, Mr. Peabody. but the best thing is the punchline then is Peabody going, quiet you, which defines their entire relationship. And it's like,
yeah, there's a weird aspect to that duo.
Yeah.
So very excited about that. Also very excited. I'm very excited because I have continued to watch Continuum, and Continuum has continued to please me. Continuum being the sci-fi series that originally aired in Canada last year and is now currently running on Syfy.
Syfy. I always think of Sifa, but I stop.
Yes.
And I have continued to not watch it and be berated by everybody I know. I'm apparently in the minority on my opinion, and I'm like, meh.
I mean, I'm just saying you're either in the minority opinion or you're just flat out wrong. I don't want to say one way or the other which it is. I'm just saying, maybe you're wrong.
I've been told I have to go back, give it like 2-3 more episodes. I've been scolded. I got an email from a friend of mine, a high school friend of mine, Jason Howell, who basically said, dude, what are you doing to Canadians? It basically came down to that. Like, what? Where's your... And he said, like, it's not about 9/11. At the end, it's like about corporations and what they're doing. I was just saying that they were trying to go for a terrorist attack that felt like a very subdued 9/11, where they could have done something more about corporations, which I know is there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, because of being berated by everybody, I'm going to watch the entire thing. And if my opinion still stands, I'm going to go on a diatribe. I'm just warning you all. If my opinion still stands... I'll go on a good eye try.
I will give you. You will get. I will say if you still hate it, 5 minutes at the top of the following Timey-Wimey TV, you can just be Rudy vents, spews venom about Continuum.
I was actually telling Liz just like, you know, I kind of miss Terra Nova because in my head, you know, man outrunning dinosaur outrunning explosion has eclipsed everything bad in that show.
You seem to very wisely forget large portions of Terra Nova. You seem to forget, for example, that about half of every episode was devoted to teen drama. I still have like the shakes over some of that teen romantic drama. Like, oh my god.
Very well. Look. All I'm saying is that Continuum does not compare to Heart of Dixie.
Gentle listener, remember that was his comparison point. I think the thing with Continuum is it really... What I really like about it is that it's very... That, you know, there's plenty of questions being answered and more questions being asked. And... I think what really works about it is that the future remains, even though like we never go back to the future to a point beyond when the terrorists and Kira disappear in the pilot. But we do get future flashbacks, which are basically like, you know, snippets of Kira's life and the terrorist's life in the pre.
Can we safely say fast forward without referencing the show at this point?
Probably.
Okay.
Basically, yes. Yeah, so like, you basically get, like, basically the future is is still very much a part of the show even after we've left it.
Right.
And there's a lot of really interesting world building, and some of it may or may not make any sense, but, it fleshes out the world of the future, and it makes you as a viewer really conflicted, because the future's kind of super effed up. Like, you get a decent taste of it by episode 2, but then it's just like you know, by like the end of the season, you're like, I, you know, much like in the, and they actually make this journey as much, this journey as much to the audiences as they make it for the protagonists. Like, you're genuinely like, I don't know, like, I don't think blowing up buildings is a nice thing to do, but they, there might be a point there. Like, and it's very interesting. And I would love to talk to you about it properly once you've gotten through it. Cause I feel like there are elements that I think you may or may not have any patience for.
I maybe that's the case, but maybe if I rush through it all, and so forth.
Yes. If you try binge viewing it, I think like it'll smooth over the rough patches a little bit. And okay. I think there's some good stuff there. And we might know a guy who knows a guy on the show too.
Yes, we might know a guy who has sent me a letter how terrible I am as a Canadian to,
have you failed your people?
I have failed my people. I'm going to a special ring of hell for Canadians that don't,
don't properly appreciate Canadian science fiction.
That don't properly, maintain the socialist, standard of, you know, appreciating everybody and
that next thing you'll know, you'll be telling me you don't like Tim Hortons.
Next thing you know, I'm going to get a gun.
Wow, that
went really dark. I'm
yeah,
really
that took
sorry.
A turn.
I was going to go like something about like
I was making a fun like donut shop joke.
Yeah, sorry, America and Canada. That went really dark.
You disappointed both countries just then.
I'm having a very good a very bad no good day.
Ah, okay. So Continuum, when we posted our first discussion about Continuum, we very clearly labeled it part one because Rudy promised he was going to keep watching it. And now that the internet has berated him, remember kids, when you berate someone on the internet, it works.
That or you drive them away from it. We miss you, Stephen Moffat.
Oh, Stephen Moffat. Remember the Stephen Moffat tweets of the week we used to do?
Those were awesome.
Those were great. We maybe need to think about finding someone new to tweet of the week.
That's right.
Maybe someday. Maybe Mark Gatiss. I think he tweets still.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone's up for next to run the show, it might be him.
Ooh.
Though he does have acting aspirations still.
Yeah.
Mark Gatiss casts himself as the Doctor and writes the show.
That'd be amazing.
That would be like, whoa, okay.
The problem, though, is that like, I really like him, and I really respect him as a creator and as an actor. I really like his acting, actually. Like, I think
I love him as Mycroft.
Yeah, Mycroft, he's amazing on Sherlock. I do not think he is one of the stronger writers to ever write for the show. And you consistently see that episodes that have his name on them are the least successful episodes.
Right.
Which is a great tragedy. Also, speaking of great tragedies, Rudy, did you watch did you watch last week's Community?
I did not watch it. However, I heard that it was all around Inspector Spacetime, and I saw the tragedy that was it at the end of the episode?
Yes, it was the tag for the episode.
Tag of the episode.
So spoilers for Community. The gang goes to an Inspector Spacetime convention where they meet Matt Lucas, who's a email pen pal of Abed's, who's also a big Inspector Spacetime fan. And there's a lot of talk about the 51st anniversary specials because it's established canon that the show began in 1962.
1 year before the Doctor.
It was kind of a fascinating viewing experience because there's some good jokes in it and like, there's some good jokes in it, and I appreciate, like, the fact that there was a female doctor that no one, a female inspector who no one likes. but the episode itself was really flimsy. It's just the show after, it's just sad to see it when you just know that a show's being run by a different group of people. And of course, like, the first three seasons of Community were run by Dan Harmon.
Right.
And then Dan Harmon left the show after famously being fired from it. And now, like, so there's an entire episode devoted to Inspector Spacetime, which was one of my favorite tropes from season three of Community. And it just feels hollow.
Right.
And it's
which is ironic given the ending of that episode.
Yes. The ending of that episode, again, spoilers, one of the plot lines is that Pierce the Chevy Chase character and Yvette Nicole Brown's character end up in a, because they're older Americans, I don't know, they end up in a focus group for a bunch of executives who are trying to develop the American version of Inspector Spacetime.
Right.
And basically Pierce goes off on this rant about how it's very, very confusing. And he doesn't like it. And so they take his notes into consideration for the American Vice version, which we get a glimpse of at the very end. And it stars, it's Luke Perry, and Jenny Garth from 90210. And Luke Perry is like, I can travel through space or time, but not both at the same time, because that's just too confusing. I'm paraphrasing, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah. It actually is a brilliant... It's without even that backstory, it's a brilliant, a caricature of like what happens when shows get adapted.
Yeah.
Right. Where people are like, oh, we really need to hold the audience's hands, you know, like to do a bunch of stuff. And also like the sexing up of a show.
Yeah.
Like the moment like Luke Perry steps out, mm-hmm. you know, it's already got this like, lens, you know, like great lens filter. The production value is 10 times, yeah. like 100 times more of what all the episodes they've ever shown of Inspector Spacetime on the show is like.
Yeah, my favorite detail, of course, is the fact that it's in San Francisco, which, as everyone who saw the Doctor Who movie from 1996 knows, is also where that Doctor Who adaptation, that Americanized
yeah,
Doctor Who
set. Yeah, that's true. That's hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
I didn't thought about that.
That's the thing about the Americanized Inspector Spacetime joke is that it's kind of redundant because we already had American Inspector Space. We already had an American adaptation of Doctor Who, and it was just as bad as that. No Jenny Garth, though. No, I actually didn't. I didn't actually recognize Jenny Garth, but that's also
I didn't recognize her, and then when I heard it was Jenny Garth, I was like, wow, she's looking good for how long she's been in this industry.
Well, once you replace most of your original parts with robot parts, it's amazing how good you can look. But anyway, so it was deeply disappointing. And also our friend Travis Ritchie, the original, the 11th Inspector, did not make any appearance. Mm-hmm. But he is still working on, he's still developing the next season of Untitled Adventure Through Space and Time.
It's starting it up. It's running right now.
They're trying to get like a prequel going?
I can't recall. You go to the Kickstarter page and find out.
Ooh, we could add a link to it.
That's possible as well.
Oh my God.
We have all kinds of powers on the interwebs.
We have so many powers. So that's about all we've got from our agenda. I'm going to do...
There's one more thing. Apologies to everybody. Apologies/news for everybody. I've been strongly saying that, oh yeah, Neil Gaiman is going to be writing one of the...
Oh, doctors. That's right, yeah.
And I completely missed out on our last episode. The news changed that he's not writing a second because the book just came out.
Yes, not written by him.
Not written by him, but by Michael Scott, who is a British sci-fi author. So they're definitely still using British science fiction authors of well-known British science fiction authors. But Michael Scott is writing wrote mm-hmm. that one. Still no reveals for the third, fourth, fifth. I mean, they literally only announced it on the 2 weeks ago, February 6th, that Michael Scott was writing it.
Okay.
So hopefully Gaiman is one of the people lined up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
But he might be down the line.
He might be down the line. We do know we have one episode from him anyway this year with Cybermen. So you know, I gladly take that.
There's good casting for that one, too. Isn't there, like... it'll come to me later. But there's some cool people cast in his episode.
Right.
I have something to balm the wound. I also have something I forgot to put on the agenda officially.
And what's that?
So, if you're not aware, if you're an American or not a British person listening to this, you'll probably know that... you may or may not be aware of the BBC iPlayer. Which is a iPlayer.
The bane of our existence?
No, it's just, I want it so bad.
I know, that's exactly why it's the bane of our existence.
Basically the BBC has a very good, I used it when I was in England in 2008, and it was a really solid, like essentially equivalent to Hulu
mm-hmm.
For British television. And I can't even imagine how good it is now. It must be great. But it's video content on the iPlayer is geo-blocked for
everywhere in the world
except for Britain, because it's paid for by the British public, and so they've been threatening to have an iPad app forever, but it keeps getting stalled and stalled and stalled.
Right.
But radio content is totally free to anyone.
Oh, so we can get radio plays.
We can get radio plays, including little adaptation of a little book called 1984. With a guy named Christopher Eccleston as Winston Smith. What?
I don't know if I want to listen to that.
Why?
Because he's a very intense guy, and that's kind of an intense book. I'm literally worried about cutting myself if I listen to that.
He's not playing an intense. I've been listening to it very casually, and so it's very like. You know, we're still in, of course, the early portions where, like, you know, Winston Smith has not yet before Winston Smith gets his cojones back for a short time, but it's a solid radio adaptation of 1984, and Eccleston is doing a great job in it.
Eccleston is Eccleston. Actually, you know what that means?
What?
It means we're going to might have access to the new adaptation of Neverwhere, Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere.
I believe we are going to. Yeah, with it's like with Cumberbatch and the crazy cast.
Oh yeah, I was like, why aren't you making the movie with these people? It's like Cumberbatch, James McAvoy, a slew of others that you're like, what?
Yeah, that's gonna be great. I forget if that's BBC or not.
It is.
Oh, that's right, because Neverwhere originally was BBC.
Yeah, it is, and it's like, yeah. And if you've ever want to see a terrible adaptation of Neil Gaiman's work, not terrible,
it's fascinating. I've seen, we're talking about the Neverwhere miniseries.
And you're like, yeah. Actually, hearing him talk about it is hilarious, because like, when I went to, two, three years ago, he came to LA.
Uh-huh.
He did a couple readings, went to them, and he talked about Neverwhere, and he had this great story about, like, you know, he wrote about the beast that lived, the mm-hmm. beast beneath London, and the way he described it and all that stuff, and then he went on set, and he saw them making that scene, and basically they hired one of those really shaggy cows that they have out, and he's talking about, I was sitting there looking at it, and I went to the director and said, Is that how the beast is going to be? And they're like, no, don't worry. We're going to change it. Don't worry. We're going to fix it in post. Like, literally, they fix it in post. And then the premiere came along, and he's sitting there waiting, and then, ka-dunk, ka-dunk, ka-dunk. Like, all it was this giant shaggy cow that they put in there.
I remember that. Also, Laura Fraser plays Dor, right?
I can't remember.
You know who Laura Fraser is, right?
I recognize the name.
She's great. She was on, she's been in a bunch of stuff. She was, Doctor Who fans might remember her from, not Doctor Who, but the BBC Casanova starring David Tennant.
Yeah, and in some ways got him.
Yeah, it was basically his audition piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly worth watching if you get a chance, folks. It's one of my favorites. It's ridiculous and kind of weird and gets really dark, but it's great. But Laura Fraser's in that. She's in A Knight's Tale. She's,
Oh, okay.
She's, she was on this last season of Breaking Bad. She was the, lady executive with the mismatched shoes.
Yeah, she was actually, in some ways, the most comedic person this past season.
And that's saying something on Breaking Bad. But anyways, BBC iPlayer's radio section is definitely worth checking out if you have any fondness for British actors whatsoever. And God Almighty, if you're listening to this podcast, I don't know what if you don't, and you're like,
it's kind of a prerequisite.
Yeah, British actors, they're the worst. I hate them with their stupid accents.
Stupid shows. What's with all these British shows? Why are they speaking so funny?
Why are they speaking so funny?
It was English.
All right. So the last thing I think we need to mention is the March Madness thing we came up with during our last podcast with Chris Gore.
Yeah. At Chris's suggestion, it was an excellent one. We're going to thought, like, let's catalog as many time travel mechanisms as possible. and then start grouping them into brackets. And have those brackets, you know, winners of each bracket start, you know, competing against each other. Mm-hmm. So we're going to still figure out what those brackets are. But in the meantime, toss in your, there's a Reddit thread, toss in your favorite.
Yes, we have a Reddit thread going. Yeah. You can, of course, use the usual means of communication with us to tell us what things we might have forgotten. Like, we just mentioned the Wayback Machine. Mm-hmm. And we're counting everything from, like, you know, Hermione Granger's Time Turner.
Right.
To, you know, the TARDIS to...
What's that?
Some box. It's smaller on the inside. It's smaller on the outside. But that stuff, there's, the character from Slaughterhouse-Five who's unstuck in time to the time traveler's wife, all that stuff.
Yeah, and to be fair, we're going to want to get all these as possible. We might start collapsing some of them if they're similar. So as I said, there's a Reddit thread where this is all in. Upvote the ones that are already there. If you agree, put in everything you can think of.
Yeah, we need to get 16 of these together, and we should be able to do that.
Oh, I think 16 is easy. Question is, like, what if we start grouping, collapsing, what are representative 16?
Right.
But then we'll
the crazy disco orange from a Continuum.
Whatever the hell that was. So let's please get on there. We'll actually have the threads on our webpage, Facebook, and more.
It'll be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a good way for us to get through the March long wait.
Build up to the Doctor's premiere.
Yes. Easter weekend, the 31st of March, we will be getting more new Doctor Who to talk about.
Day after my birthday.
Aww. We'll have to have a little potty. In the meantime, you can tell us about time travel things, tell us about Doctor Who news, tell us about anything we talked about today that you cared about enough to tell us more about. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter at TimeyWimeyTV. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TimeyWimeyTV. You can find us on Tumblr at timeywimeytv.tumblr.com. You can find us on Google Plus by searching for us on Google Plus. You can email us at feedback@timeywimey.tv, and you can also find us on the internet with all these fun links and more at timeywimey.tv.
You can subscribe to our podcast through an RSS reader from our website or on iTunes, or we're now on the Stitcher app.
Double yay!
So please, if you want, look us up on it and our other locations, like the podcast app for on your iPhone. Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day I'll figure out how this Google Play thing works with podcasts.
One day.
We might have to put out a Timey-Wimey TV app that lets you get this straight from the source.
Says the appsmith. I will enjoy supervising you making the app.
Someone likes to be the foreman, huh?
Someone doesn't know how to make an app.
That's a valid point. But with that, we'll tune in next time.
Yeah.
With another episode.
Yes, we've got some fun guests and fun ideas in store for that one, and we will of course we'll have the bracket set for our Timey-Wimey TV March Madness time travel devices. March Madness roundup thing. I think I said March Madness twice in there.
Yes.
Okay.
March Madness. March Madness.
March Madness. March Madness. Yes.
Have a great one, everyone.
Yay!
Bye, all.
Bye.